The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Lindsay Clancy heard a voice. Not a feeling, not a dark thought she couldn't shake. A voice, loud, male, repetitious. According to her civil lawsuit, it said, "This is your last chance. Kill the children so you can kill yourself." And then it said it again and again. And according to her account, she lost all control. That is not postpartum depression. That is not the baby blues. That is not a woman who was sad or overwhelmed or struggling to bond with a newborn. That's a woman whose brain manufactured a sound, a voice that did not exist in the physical world, and presented it to her as indistinguishable from reality. She could not tell the difference between that voice and her husband talking to her from the next room. That is postpartum psychosis. And the distance between what that term actually means and what most people think it means is the distance between everything that matters in this case. We're going to go through this today. I welcome your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube so we can continue discussing this there. Lindsay Clancy's murder trial begins with jury selection. That's going on right now as we record this in Plymouth Superior Court. She is charged with three counts of murder in the deaths of her children, Cora, 5 years old, Dawson, three, Callan, 8 months. She has not denied what happened. Her defense is not that she didn't do it. Her defense is that she was not in contact with reality when she did it. And the argument her legal team is making comes down to a medical condition that affects one in two women out of every 1,000 births, a condition so rare that most OBGYNs will go their entire career without seeing a case, a condition that the medical system has almost no standardized screening for, a condition where the person experiencing it often has no idea it's happening. Here's why that matters to you, because when you have an opinion about Lindsay Clancy's guilt or not, because somebody you know, your sister, your daughter, your friend, your coworker will have a baby, and if it happens to her, and you don't know what it looks like, you'll miss it. Her doctor might miss it too. Lindsay Clancy's doctors apparently did too, and I put that in air quotes. So let me explain this in a way that doesn't require a medical degree, because the conversation around this case has collapsed three completely different diagnoses into one word, postpartum. And the confusion is doing real damage. Let's start with the baby blues. That's the most common postpartum experience. Up to 85% of new mothers go through some version of it. Mood swings, crying easily, feeling overwhelmed. It usually resolves on its own within 2 weeks. It is normal. It does not involve any disconnect from reality. This is not that. Then there actually is kind of the next step of postpartum depression. That is a clinical diagnosis. About 1 in 7 women experience it. Persistent sadness, hopelessness, fatigue, difficulty bonding with the baby. It can be debilitating. It's also treatable with therapy, medication, and support, and it does not involve hallucinations. A woman with postpartum depression knows where she is. She knows who her baby is. She knows what's real. She is suffering, but she's operating inside the same reality as everyone else. Postpartum psychosis is something else entirely. It is not a more severe form of postpartum depression. It's like in its own other arena. So to say, well, it's just a stronger version of it, really completely discounts what it is. It's like saying an orange you know, the food you eat is the same as a Nike, the shoe you use. No, they're really not at all remotely the same things. It's not the next step on the spectrum. It's a separate psychiatric emergency with a different set of symptoms and a fundamentally different relationship to reality. And the single most important thing I can tell you about it is this. The person experiencing it usually does not know it is happening. Think about that. You have a complete break from reality, hallucinations, delusions, paranoia, command voices telling you to do things, and not know that anything is wrong because the hallucinations feel real. They sound real. They look real. Your brain is not giving you a warning label. Your brain is telling you that the voice you hear is as legitimate as traffic noise or your baby crying. There's no internal signal that says that's a hallucination. The whole point of a hallucination is that your brain treats it as genuine sensory input. Cleveland Clinic describes it as a condition where a person cannot tell the difference between a hallucination and something that is truly happening. The delusions, false beliefs held with absolute conviction are so strong that no amount of evidence will change them. A woman with postpartum psychosis might believe her baby is possessed. She might believe someone is trying to poison her child through her breast milk. She might believe God has given her a command, and she holds those beliefs with the same certainty that you hold the belief that you're watching me do this right now or listening to me tell you this right now. She's not choosing to believe them. Her brain has made them facts. The systems, the symptoms can include auditory hallucinations, hearing voices, hearing commands, hearing conversations that are not happening. Visual hallucinations, seeing people who are not there. The Massachusetts General Women's Center for Women's Mental Health describes women who experience command auditory hallucinations that instruct them to harm themselves or their baby. Some women experience mania, racing thoughts, surging energy, grandiosity, going days without sleep while feeling fine. Some experiences rapid mood swings so severe that they can appear euphoric one moment and catatonic the next. And here's a detail that should terrify every person listening who has a new mother in their life. The symptoms ebb and flow. A woman in active psychosis can appear completely normal to her family. She can get dressed, she can feed the baby, she can make conversation, she can perform motherhood while her brain is disassembling reality behind her eyes. Experts describe this as one of the most dangerous features of the illness. The person can function in some aspects of daily life while simultaneously experiencing a total break from reality. She can, as one clinician put it, put on a good face. Lindsay Clancy put on a good face. She was a labor and delivery nurse at Massachusetts General Hospital. She spent her career helping mothers through the most vulnerable moments of their lives. She worked inside the medical system that was supposed to catch this. And when postpartum psychosis happened to her, to a trained healthcare professional who knew more about maternal health than most of the people treating her, she could not identify it herself. She asked for help time and time again. And the system failed her time and time again. That should land on every person who has ever said, she should have known something was wrong. She did know something was wrong. She told everyone who would listen that something was wrong. She went to appointments. She called crisis line. She checked herself into McLean Hospital, one of the most prestigious psychiatric facilities in the country. On January 1st, 2023, because she was having thoughts. Can't say that word on the YouTube. She was discharged 4 days later. Her providers kept prescribing medication and scheduling 17-minute video appointments. She did everything the system tells a struggling mother to do. The system did not do what it was supposed to do in return. Between September of 2022 and January 23, Lindsay Clancy was prescribed at least 9 different psychiatric medications: Zoloft, Trazodone, Prozac, Ambien, Remeron, Klonopin, Seroquel, Valium, Lamitol. And according to both the civil lawsuit filed by her husband, Patrick, and the civil lawsuit she filed herself, her providers added and accelerated these medications in an ad hoc manner. They did not coordinate care. They did not run the diagnostic tests that would have told them why she was having adverse reactions to medications that should have helped her. Because you can't mix and match the shit like Tic Tacs and Skittles. Her husband told a friend that Lindsay seemed over-medicated. He described her as acting like a zombie. He said she had the worst side effects possible and had become dependent on benzodiazepines. When she sought help from Women and Infants Hospital in Rhode Island, staff there determined her issues were likely the result of over-medication and misdiagnosis. They reached out to her nurse practitioner to discuss her care, and according to the lawsuit, the nurse practitioner never responded. A forensic psychiatrist who evaluated Lindsay from the defense diagnosed her with bipolar disorder 1, severe, with psychosis and anxious distress with postpartum onset. That diagnosis rewrites the entire medical narrative because antidepressants, the medications her providers kept prescribing and increasing, are documented in medical literature as capable of triggering manic and psychotic episodes in people with undiagnosed bipolar disorder. Her providers never tested for bipolar. They kept treating anxiety and depression. According to the defense's expert, they may have been chemically accelerating the condition that ultimately destroyed her family. And that brings me back to the distinction that matters more than anything else in this case. Lindsay told her providers she was having intrusive thoughts. Her civil lawsuit alleges those were actively auditory hallucinations. She was hearing voices, but she did not have the language for what was happening to her. She used the closest term she knew. She called them thoughts. Her providers took that label that she gave them and treated it as anxiety. Nobody asked the follow-up questions. Nobody said, when you say intrusive thoughts, do you mean a thought that enters your mind, or do you mean a voice that you hear? Because those are two completely different diagnoses. An intrusive thought is a symptom of anxiety or OCD. An auditory hallucination is a symptom of psychosis, one that gets treated with therapy and antidepressants. The other is a psychiatric emergency that requires immediate hospitalization, antipsychotics, and round-the-clock monitoring. The distance between those two things is the distance between a treatable condition and a catastrophe. And in Lindsay Clancy's case, that question was never asked. There is a structural reason for that failure. The screening tools used at most OBGYN and pediatric offices across the country are designed to catch postpartum depression. They ask about sadness, hopelessness, difficulty bonding, crying. They do not screen for psychosis. There is no standardized screening for postpartum psychosis in routine postnatal care anywhere in the United States. The rarest and most dangerous postpartum condition is the one the system is least equipped to detect. The prosecution's position in this case is that Lindsay Clancy planned and executed these killings in a clear state of mind, that framing, and then just as a shitty human being. That framing lands on every mother in America sitting in a waiting room trying to decide whether to tell her doctor that something feels wrong. Experts have said publicly that the rhetoric around this case is dangerous. An OBGYN nurse and prenatal mental health advocate told the Boston Globe that when prosecutors paint Lindsay as a monster who carried out premeditated murder, they erase the medical reality. The message it sends to every struggling parent is simple and devastating. Nothing can help you. Massachusetts General Hospital Center for Women's Mental Health published a response specifically because the public conversation was blurring the lines between postpartum depression and postpartum psychosis, and they were worried the confusion would stop women from seeking care. Psychosis and planning can coexist. That is not a defense argument. That's a published psychiatric finding in literature. A study of homicides committed by individuals with schizophrenia found that roughly 43% showed clear elements of premeditation, and many were still found not criminally responsible because the planning occurred within a psychotic framework. A person can be methodical inside a delusion. The planning is real. The reality within which the planning occurs is not. Andrea Yates drowned her 5 children in 2001. Her actions were purposeful and sequential. She waited for her husband to leave. She filled a bathtub. She brought each child to the water one at a time. She was ultimately found not guilty by reason of insanity because she was operating inside a psychotic belief that she was saving her children from Satan. I'm not telling you what to think about Lindsay Clancy's criminal responsibility. A jury of 18 people is going to spend the next 6 to 8 weeks hearing evidence. And so are you if you want to take this in on our podcast feed, wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, press subscribe, search Hidden Killers. You'll get all of the trial audio every day. I'm telling you what postpartum psychosis is, because if you walked into that case thinking postpartum means sad or overwhelmed or struggling, you're missing the thing that matters most. Three children are gone, Cora, Dawson, Callan. Their father came home with takeout and found them. Patrick Clancy will testify at the trial for his wife's defense. He filed a wrongful death lawsuit against her medical providers. He asked the public to forgive Lindsay. He said the real Lindsay was generous, loving, and caring towards everyone. He said the fibers of her soul are loving. He said all he wishes for her now is that she can somehow find peace. This is not a man who is confused about what happened to his children. This is a man who watched from the inside as his wife disappeared into something neither of them had the tools to understand. Well, the people who were supposed to have those tools kept scheduling 17-minute appointments. Next, our time is up here. Take this. Make sure you have a granola bar with it. The next time a mother, you know, tells you something feels wrong, that something feels off, that she's having thoughts she can't explain after she had a baby, the question is not, are you sad? The question is, what are you hearing? Understanding this condition is the battle. Punishing someone for experiencing it and not getting the treatment that she needed when she was begging for it, when she was seeking it out over and over and over and over again, is not justice for those three children. It's not justice for anybody. If there's anything this case should do, it should educate us and it should teach us about what this condition is. Understand it's very real, and it can happen to anyone. And women should not feel scared to share what they're experiencing and what they're seeing and what they're hearing, if any at all, with the people they trust and care. Because that's the bridge between something very wrong and getting help. But the more it's stigmatized, the more it's not understood, the more it's like, oh, turn that frown upside down, the more we'll see cases like this. The more people won't understand it. And the more Lindsay Clancy's we'll be talking about. So go into this case with a clear understanding of what this is all about before you make your judgments. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Like I said, we're going to be bringing you the audio of the trial throughout the course of the trial on our podcast channels, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get podcasts. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and be sure to press subscribe and you'll be getting the trial audio every day along with all of our commentary and discussions on this and the many cases we cover for you right here. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.